In my mind, Dr. John Ott, the amazing research that he has conducted over decades, starting in the 1960s, I think that in my mind he is mostly responsible for bringing this back to the light of day. I don't know if any of you have read his book, Health and Light.
Yes.
But if you have, or if you haven't, I would strongly urge you to pick up a copy on Amazon or somewhere, because what you'll read in this book is that the power of full-spectrum lighting hitting the retina of your eye has done all kinds of wonderful, all kinds of healthy effects. There have been one anecdote that I can remember in the book has to do with Dr. Albert Schweitzer coming across an epidemic of cancer in Central Africa, which was absolutely unheard of. It just literally didn't exist. And it turns out that a missionary brought with him a whole bunch of, like a case of sunglasses that they used for barter value. And these guys, you know, rowing their canoes down the river, wearing nothing but a loincloth and their sunglasses, basically starving themselves from the full spectrum lighting over a number of years has resulted in a cancer epidemic. And as soon as he would basically get them to throw the sunglasses away, the epidemic, there would be no more new cases. Similarly, there would be a school in Florida that would, they would find an epidemic of leukemia, and they would now, through his coaching, because he lived in Sarasota, Florida, Dr. John Ott, that he would find that by opening the blinds and opening the windows and letting full-spectrum lighting enter the room, then there would be no new cases of leukemia, which is a form of blood cancer. So in other words, if you allow full-spectrum lighting to hit your retina, it eliminates or ends epidemics. Or if you starve yourself from full-spectrum lighting, it creates epidemics. And in addition to that, something in this book which is absolutely astounding, that in the work that he's done, that Dr. John Ott has done with the Wills Eye Clinic in Philadelphia, has found that in the retina of the eye, you need a certain amount of ultraviolet light to allow the photoreceptor cells, the rods and cones, to divide and replicate. In the absence of that, you get macular degeneration later in life. In other words, if you wear sunglasses and you deprive yourself of full-spectrum lighting, you're far more likely to develop macular degeneration. But allowing yourself to immerse yourself in the bright lights of the sun, you now create a situation where it will prevent that, which is very shocking, because that's the reason people wear sunglasses, ostensibly, is to eliminate or prevent macular degeneration. In other words, the doctors have it backwards. I feel in my own experience, sometimes I will sun gaze in a manner of speaking, not looking directly at the sun, but sort of looking all around the sun. It might even be midday. And I know, Hira, you strongly discourage this. In fact, I discourage that also. But I found in my own experience, if I combine that now shading my eyes so that I can look at the after image and then do closed eye sun gazing, in other words, let the sun impinge upon my closed eyelids, I find that a very strange sensation that I feel like I am strengthening the photoreceptors, the rods and cones on the retina of my eye. Now, I've only given an extremely brief description of this. Definitely don't encourage anybody to do this. But for me personally, I've done this enough over a long enough period of time that I know that I'm not doing any damage to my retina, especially because I check it frequently, and also just as a sanity check, I get a visual field test once a year and a retinal scan by an eye doctor once a year, just in case there's something that I'm not noticing. And I can tell you that, if anything, my eyes are getting stronger, not weaker, from doing this. Let me kind of jump back to something that Paulus mentioned at the beginning of this this talk, and so we have maybe a little opportunity for a QA. Why is it that people buy lottery tickets? It's because they envision a scenario where they've been singled out for a great gift, and they imagine that that gift of winning a lottery will bring them happiness, serenity, calmness, optimism for the future, that they will enjoy a life of great gratitude for being singled out for this gift, and that this will also give them the gift of a long, healthy, disease-free, happy life. There's only one problem, is that the statistics don't really bear this out. Your typical lottery winner getting this windfall of money, his demons start, that they get amplified. If he is a bit of a glutton, well, I might add, 100% of lottery winners gain weight. In many cases, I've heard of stories where a couple is having some marital difficulties. They win the lottery, and now they no longer have an incentive to work out their difficulties. They, take half the money, go your separate way, I don't need you anymore. And it basically has greatly complicated... Okay, can everybody hear me now okay?
Yes.
There was a little difficulty there a second ago.
Yeah, and I muted everyone, and then okay. Brought it back.
Okay. Anyway, the point, though, is that in round numbers, 80 to 90% of the people who win lotteries don't actually get the benefits that they envisioned when they bought the ticket. And in at least one case... a guy got so arrogant and so obnoxious that somebody killed him because he won the lottery. But now let's look at sungazers. What about sungazers? The same exact things that people try to attain by getting a lottery ticket, we actually get. We get a happiness and contentment, serenity, calmness, optimism for the future. We feel tremendous gratitude for this incredibly wonderful gift that we get. And if you stick with it and you take it seriously and you do it right, my belief, it's my strong belief, and in fact I feel like, I mean I can't prove it, but I feel like very positive that this is true, that I think that a long-time sungazer will enjoy a long, healthy, disease-free life. And the difference is that 90% of us will have that, whereas only maybe 10 or 20% of the lottery winners will have that. So to me, it's significantly better than winning a lottery. And it's right there, free for the taking. And so when somebody asked me, you know, what's the benefits of sun gazing and the related practices of sunbathing and ground contact and drinking sun-charged water, to me it's like it's kind of like winning the lottery, but without the big bank account. Anyway, Paulus, I hope I have answered the question, what are the benefits of sun? Would you say that that's been answered?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I like the presentation. And I wanted to ask you, what is the name again of the doctor from Denmark?
Dr. Niels Finsen, F like Frank, I-N-S-E-N. The guy who won the 1903 Nobel Prize in Medicine for coming up with a cure for tuberculosis by simply putting them out in the sun. I'd like to mention there's a really excellent, to me it's almost required reading for sun gazers. And that's called The Healing Sun by Dr. Richard Hobday, and he talks about it specifically there. But there's many other sources that talk about it as well. The healing sun primarily is about sun hitting your skin. And Dr. Michael Holick is kind of the modern-day successor to the old heliotherapists, Dr. August Rollier and those guys. Michael Holick wrote the book The UV Advantage. And that's another highly advisable book. In fact, in my mind, those two books are kind of excellent background information. Now, they don't talk specifically about sun gazing, but I feel like it's it kind of dances around the issue without saying it specifically. There's another book.
Trudeau's endorsement was very powerful because he's so well known.
Oh yes,
and very conservative as well.
Well, my only problem with it is that he doesn't come out and talk about sun gazing specifically, but he does mention here his website, as if to say, like, I'm a little bit too prominent. I can't really tell you to do this because if you do it and you hurt yourself, you're going to come after me in my millions. And I don't want to take responsibility for that. But go to this website and draw your own conclusion. I mean, that's kind of how I read it. But yes, he is very prominent.
Is there anyone else that has a question they would like to have answered by Rich?
Yeah, what was the name of the author of the Health and Life book?
Health and Light is Dr. John Ott. That's spelled O-T-T. Personally, I think of this as the number one book that will talk about the value of full-spectrum lighting on your eyes and on your vision. He talks about basically, he doesn't talk about sun gazing specifically, but to me, sun gazing is the natural outgrowth. That's if you truly read and understand, and I've read every word of this book, holding it in my hand right now, I feel like sun gazing is like the next step. And this is maybe what you may need to give yourself the confidence that a little bit of UV hitting your retina is not going to make you go blind if you do it right. And I have to caution, if you do it right, if you have an atrocious diet, if you don't ever get a good night's sleep, if you're stressed out and, you know, angry all the time, I could believe that there are bad things that will happen. But when you do use the sun kind of in the way that, you know, we're sort of talking about, it makes you, you know, peaceful and calm, and suppresses your appetite, so you have a better eating habits. In my mind, it leads you more toward a raw vegan diet. Not to say that you need to become actually a raw vegan, but that you increase in that direction. I feel like when you do all this stuff, I feel like you will naturally gravitate towards sun gazing. If you've heard about it, you learn about it, and you sort of lose your fear of it.
another doctor that promotes sunbathing quite a bit, and the vitamin D that the body produces in sunlight is Dr. Markola, and he has a website, and he speaks about that quite a bit and mentions that a fair-skinned person needs about a half hour every other day or so, at least
sure.
three times a week.
Three
and
times
a
week,
dark
right.
A dark-skinned person needs 6 to 10 times as much sun.
I would say if there's any African-Americans out there listening, or if you have dark skin like your ancestry is from the Mediterranean or the Middle East, then I would say you probably should supplement with vitamin D pills. I actually take, most days, I take 2,000 international units of vitamin D just to make sure I'm getting it. I don't believe that that will be cause for an overdose. And so, but when you're actually out there, and I did a little bit of sunbathing today, midday. Unfortunately, it was overcast a little bit. I couldn't really get my my full amount. But I also go out for about this time of year, about 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour. It kind of depends. But in the summertime, I will definitely be shortening that to maybe 10 minutes a day, midday. But then if I move it further away from noon, let's say if it's 3 in the afternoon, I'll go back to the half hour in the summertime. So,
Before it gets too late, I wanted to mention to everybody that a recording of this call can be found at the website of www.thebasementventures.com. The Basement Ventures.
I'm sorry, it's the word T-H-E is in front of that?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that originally.
Yeah, it's T-H-E,
The
Basement. The
Basement Ventures, got it.
Ventures.com, yes.
Okay.
And you would just sign in using the bridge number that you came onto the line with, and it would give you an access to the recordings. And it should be posted for, I believe, at least 30 days.
Okay. I'd like to mention also, there's another guy, when you mentioned Dr. Markola, I am on his newsletter list. He is a very, very strong proponent of the power of sunlight, a very strong voice. And I might add, there's over 1 million people on his email list. And I feel like he is very much to be commended for spreading the good word and doing the good work he does. There's another guy kind of like that named Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, who also is a very, very strong proponent. You could say he's as prolific, does a lot of writing online, many online articles. Unfortunately, I don't remember the website, but if you type in Mike Adams Sunlight, you'll see a wealth of information there. He also has an interview that he published with Dr. Holick. It's about 20 pages long or so. It's a free download. I strongly recommend everybody to download that and read it. You know, why we all need vitamin D and sunlight, and you know, talking about the prevention of cancer and other very serious diseases through that. There's also a place called the UV Foundation, and the vitamin D, what is it? I forget what it's called. There's a guy named Dr. John Cannell. It's Cannell. I think it's called the Vitamin D Foundation. And also very, very loud, clear voice supporting the effect of supplementing vitamin D as well as getting it directly from the sun. There's probably 50 people on the internet who support this. Someone named Crispin Sullivan wrote a book called Naked at Noon, talks very emphatically about the need to the diseases that can be prevented from adequate vitamin D in your blood. It just goes on and on. One day I'd like to actually create a website that contains what I would call the Heliotherapy Hall of Fame to recognize the pioneers in this field, both living and dead, and because I feel like they have made a tremendous contribution, and I wish that more people would read that and understand it and adopt it. Even to this day, anytime I talk about the value of vitamin D that is made from sun hitting your skin, the next comment normally coming out of the person's mouth in response is, well, I don't want to get skin cancer. And I try to explain that if you were to imagine this scenario, imagine that you starve yourself for an entire month, and in the last day of the month, you eat constantly from sun up to sundown. If that sounds like a stupid idea, and if it sounds unhealthy, that's exactly what people do with the nutrient of sunlight. They deprive themselves of it day after day, week after week, and then they go out and overdo it. And naturally, of course, by overdoing it, it's dangerous, and it leads to all kinds of bad things. But when you get a little bit every day, Paul, just like you were mentioning, maybe three times a week, and you lay down a protective tan, and now you get the benefit of the vitamin D without the damage of overdoing it, now you got something. And that's, I feel like, part of optimal health. And that's what we all should be doing.
I have a question.
Sure.
Hello.
There's a group on Yahoo. It's called Ormus Sungazing. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that.
Yeah, so that sounds like Vinny Pinto's group, yes.
Actually, no, that is Sieg Verda's group.
Ah,
Pinto
okay.
has a different one. He has sun gazing or he has sun lit. The Ormus group is run by, I think his name, if I'm not mistaken, is Calvin Howard, who lives in Hong Kong.
Is that Sieg Verda?
That's Sieg Verda, yes.
Calvin Howard?
Calvin Howard.
If I could interrupt for a second.
Sure.
On Vinny Pinto's news group, Sieg Verda was well known. In my mind, he was probably the most authoritative, interesting guy who posted frequently to Vinny's group. But it was we're going back a year or two.
That's true. Until I think he was like kind of kicked out.
I think so. I think because he expressed opinions that Vinny didn't like.
And
I contacted him privately.
Yeah.
And just mentioned that I really greatly appreciated the stuff. In fact, in many cases, I wound up literally copying it, putting it onto a Microsoft Word file,
right.
Because it was so interesting and authoritative, and I mean, it was just fantastic information. He also told at that time that there would be like business trips he would take, because he would take these extended foreign business trips.
Right.
And he mentioned once that he would be sun gazing, and he just didn't feel like eating breakfast. And then lunchtime would come and go, and he didn't really.
Yep.
And then before you know it, a month would go by, and he didn't even try or realize it, but he hasn't eaten
right.
for a month.
And his skin never got darker. He never became really, really dark skinned.
Right.
It got to a point where the system that darkens the skin just basically stopped.
Right. And that's called the melanocytes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne, you mentioned something. This is very, very important to bring up. If you wear sunglasses while you are sunbathing, you're fooling your eye into thinking that it's not in the bright light. When you are in the bright light and you essentially creates this biochemical chain reaction, causing your brain to create these melanocytes, which causes your skin to darken. Now you got a shot at the protective tan, which will prevent skin cancer. And the only reason I mention this is because those of you who wear sunglasses routinely, I think you're making a very, very horrible mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the people who are more likely to get skin cancer. Oh, could you tell me his name again? Calvin, what is it?
Calvin Howard.
Howard, okay.
C-H. Every once in a while I see a C-H in there, and then at one point in time I saw the word. I went back into a different website. I think it was called Ormus in Spirit back a couple of years.
Right.
And at that time, he used the full name.
Interesting, because I remember the C-H,
yeah. Right.
Wondering if he's from Switzerland.
That's what I thought, too, because I'm from Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
And it struck me as odd why he would have a C-H in there. That brings up the other question, and that is, do you know of anybody that might know where I can get a hold of a Nicole Prism?
I'm not familiar.
Sieg Verda is very much a proponent, but only, I quote, to experienced sun gazers, because a Nicole Prism, what it does is it turns unpolarized light into polarized light. It's a polarization effect.
Uh-huh.
And what that does is it's kind of like, how should I describe this? If a person were to sun gaze for an hour, but having had experience, of course, over time, then if they were to use a Nicole Prism, they can do the Nicole Prism for a few minutes, which is the equivalent of an hour.
Wow.
That's what that does. Now, the thing about it is I've got a hold on the internet. I found two companies that make them. But when I call, not knowing how to order or get specifics, then basically they shut me down and I'm not able to order it. So it's kind of like I need to learn how to order before I order.
How do you spell the word Nicole?
N-I-C-O-L. If you plug into Yahoo or Google, Nicole Prism, you'll find some of the old microscopes going way back, antiques, they use them.
I see.
But I don't know where to get a hold of one.
Let me look into that and see if I can contact you offline.
That would be great.
I know Dr. Mitchell Gibson uses various jewels and crystals in coordination with sun gazing, and he just comes to my mind that he might know the answer to that question.
Well, that brings up a remark, and that is, Sieg Verda talked about using mirrors, which is fine, but the reason that he mentioned the Nicole Prism is on mirrors, depending on the quality, you only get a percentage of maybe 60 to 70% polarized light. But with a Nicole Prism, you get 100. And that's the only reason for using a Nicole Prism.
I see.
To get the maximum polarized light.
Also, I just wanted to chime in here. Sometimes when it is not the optimal sun gazing time, what I wind up doing, like if it's maybe 2 in the afternoon, is I will look at the reflection of the sun in my watch, which is just a piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that it approximates the same physiological effect, because I've been doing this a long time. I feel like I have sort of a handle on what's going on.
Right.
And it approximates, like if it would be, let's say, sundown, right now is at 6 p.m., approximates the sun around 5 p.m. or maybe 5:15 or something like that. And so I find that I can safely sun gaze midday if I don't do it directly, if I do it through like reflected in the watch. It's called attenuating or reducing the radiation effect. The way I always check is by looking at the strength and duration and nature of the after image. That tells me if I'm doing any harm to
right.
my eye. That's my sanity check. In addition to that, if you look at a chart of reflexology, you'll find that your second and third toe is connected to your eye, and there have been times in the past where I would feel a twinge in one of my second or third toes. That's your body telling you, slow down, you're doing it too much. So
right.
you have to be very aware of that and cognizant. I mean, people get twinges in their feet or their toes all the time. They have no concept of, you know, what it is. They assume there's something wrong with their foot. It's your body talking to you.
There's actually a picture, if anybody's interested. The website is the Yahoo group called Ormus Sun Gazing.
Okay.
And then under in the left-hand column, of course, you have to become a member, but it's a great group just in general. In the left-hand column, it says photos. And once you get into the index of the photos, there's one called Color Range and Polarity by Sikh Verda. And then within that one, one is the actual title of the picture is called Sikh Verda's Sun Gazing Implement. And
okay.
It shows a picture of a Nicol prism.
I will definitely join that group. And I will definitely take a look at that.
Yep.
How do you spell Ormus?
Ormus. O-R-M-U-S.
I'm curious.
Did you get that website again?
Ormus in capital letters, dash sungazing.
Thanks.
Well, keep in mind, that is a news group. It's not a website.
That's correct. It is a news group.
So you have to join, you have to be a member of Yahoo Groups. And then once you're a member of Yahoo Groups, you can join that group. And once you're in that group, then you can go to the file section
right.
and look at the photo.